What is the most important e-discovery issue today?
Cost control?
Technology-assisted review?
Information management?
Preservation?
From the latest cases to the newest technologies.
Our goal is to expose legal professionals to the most important e-discovery trends
with the brightest e-discovery experts.
Rulemaking.
Predictive coding.
Litigation hold.
Proportionality.
Document review.
Social media.
Efficiency.
Ethics.
Cooperation.
Welcome to the ESI Report, sponsored by Kroll On Track, an e-discovery software and service provider. You are listening to the Legal Talk Network.
Hi, I'm Michelle Lang, and welcome to the ESI Report. You have probably heard that litigation costs are rising, that big data keeps getting bigger, and that organizations need to implement more efficient and cost-effective discovery practices. You probably haven't heard, however, that the key to solving these problems lies in an e-discovery lifestyle change. For years, organizations have conducted e-discovery on a reactive, case-by-case approach where data is collected, reviewed, and produced in a silo, wholly disconnected from other projects within that organization. In reality, those prior collections and work product are valuable assets that could be possibly reused in related e-discovery projects. Today's podcast is all about conservation. It's time to reduce, reuse, and recycle with multi-matter management, where standardized discovery practices and modern technologies allow you to manage your full portfolio of e-discovery projects and move beyond a disjointed case-by-case approach. To help me dive in on these discussions, I welcome John Addington, Senior eDiscovery Analyst at Dell in Austin, Texas. At Dell, John provides expert advice and management in all areas of large, complex eDiscovery projects, from collection through production. John is also a certified eDiscovery specialist who has published articles on eDiscovery and presented around the country. John, thanks so much for joining me today on the ESI Report.
Hi, Michelle. Thanks for having me.
So let's go ahead and get started. Maybe you can give us a better idea of what multi-matter management entails and what does it have to do with e-discovery?
Sure, no problem. And to begin with, I've heard different names used for it. I've heard it described as the portfolio approach, cross-matter, multi-matter management, or at its root level, it's basically recycling and repurposing your e-discovery efforts. But regardless of the name, the concept is that larger corporations who have active discovery and numerous ongoing matters can encourage their litigation team members to avoid that tunnel vision and rather take more of a global approach. The tunnel vision, or silos, as you mentioned, really blindfold you to significant potentials for efficiencies and cost reductions. The silo approach means each litigation team focuses on the case at hand without understanding that this specific matter, for example, is the third case in a row involving similar issues with very similar data needed for discovery production. Likewise, another silo scenario could be handling just the lawsuit at hand and not being aware of other litigation in your organization, maybe regarding different issues, but nonetheless, it involves several of the same custodians. So the portfolio or multi-matter approach involves processes, systems, tools that allow litigation teams to really address the big picture, to avoid repeating similar efforts, to stop duplicating e-discovery tasks, but rather to repurpose these from one matter to the next. And at every stage of discovery, from custodian interviews to data collections to data reviews and through productions, by improved tracking, much time and cost can be saved with having a global approach.
So maybe, John, you could dive a little deeper even and talk about some of the scenarios in which this multi-matter management or portfolio approach that you talk about is most applicable. Is this something that every corporation is going to want to think about? Are there certain scenarios and certain types of organizations where this would be critical?
You know, it's certainly not all or nothing. It can be applied in different levels. And the approach makes most sense when you're managing litigation in multiple matters involving similar litigation, similar issues. Larger corporations particularly see themes of lawsuits regarding the same potential liability issues. So the more similar your lawsuits are means the more likely you're going to have repeat or serial custodians. I can give you an example. If multiple lawsuits are filed around the same time, and let's say five of the custodians are the same, interviews, data collections with those custodians do not need to be repeated for each matter. Rather, interviews can be coordinated across your matter so that, for example, a very busy executive does not need to sit through the same intense interview process with outside counsel multiple times. Data collected from that custodian, or really all of those five that overlap, can be repurposed or even housed in what's called a central or a master data repository. Keywords and date filters specific to a matter can be run against the data for those custodians related to a specific matter, and then that data related to that matter is pushed down from the master to a specific matter's review database, which in a sense is like a sub-database from the master. However, let's say that you have multiple matters that are very similar, almost identical, with the same outside counsel. Well, in that scenario, you may not need to go the full master repository route. It may be just the same database that you can use to run the various matters out of. But if your matters are with overlapping custodians and they vary to some degree with different keywords, different date ranges, that's when the master repository would probably make more sense, is with the data housed in that central location that's just pushed down to different review subsets for the individual matters. And there's another example, too, that I can give, perhaps with non-custodian data that happens in corporations where the same set of, say, similar HR or marketing or technical documents are needed. And in that situation, it makes sense also to have those centrally housed and preserve that collection instead of recollecting each time.
You've talked a little bit, John, about some of the benefits or the value of doing something like this, having a portfolio approach to managing e-discovery. If you were to sort of pare it down a little bit and talk to your general counsel or your chief legal officer or someone that's in a more managerial role within the legal department of a corporation, or similarly, talking to your outside counsel, the law firms that might be representing you in these matters, how do you sell the benefits or the value of this approach to them?
Well, it's actually been easy, and we've been very successful with that. There's considerable time that you ingest or invest in every stage of discovery from numerous team members. Even if you just talk about the initial stages of litigation, everything that's involved in that team and reaching out to other departments, researching the issues, finding and collecting pertinent data, having that delivered to the vendor and processed. Well, when the next matter comes up that involves those same custodians or same data needs, you've just saved tremendous amount of time, weeks, maybe months of time, because you already have that data. Instead, you can now focus your time and attention on just whatever issues were new and unique in this next review. So time savings is tremendous at the earlier stage of the litigation, but that comes in again when that data is reviewed, tagged, and produced. That stage two takes months. And while not all of it, but a large percentage of that activity and endeavors can also be reused from one matter to the next. And there's tremendous cost savings there. But one of the things that's kind of exciting about this is the fact that you have your data ready very early on, earlier on during litigation than maybe you normally would, because you have this set of overlapping custodian data from the last matter that's the same folks in this current matter, means actually that you can present yourself as a strong player then in this next litigation because you're ready for action. You can start producing right away. And again, then you can use the time at that point just to collect anything that's new or different. Another interesting benefit that I've seen is that, in essence, because you have data stored up in advance from the previous matters, you have a form of early case assessment in those e-discovery databases. So you can often gain some insight, dive into some of those custodians' collection from the previous matter, research a little bit the issues in this present matter, and that can help you to hone your strategies. But specific to cost savings, where those cost savings are going to come in, they are going to come in, and they're likely going to be large. That's going to vary, though, according to what your terms you've worked out with your e-discovery provider. But every step of the way, again, there's savings. The documents that have been processed, indexed, they're ready to search, that doesn't need to be repeated again for the next matter. They're still ready and ready to be searched when the next matter comes along. So you can likely save some money at the processing level. And that data for that overlapping set of custodians is already hosted. So if you work with the right provider, there's likely not going to be too much more in the way of charges with hosting that data. It's already hosted. When you get to the review stage, it's not as much can be recycled. It depends on your strategies and the cases, but you still can save some review steps as well and save money. So overall, depending on your litigation portfolio and implementing these technologies can yield savings in the hundreds of thousands of dollars a year or more.
So, John, talk to me a little bit about how an organization can start implementing a multi-matter management or portfolio management approach to their e-discovery portfolio. How does an organization even start thinking this way?
Well, to begin with, it's changing your mindset, as mentioned earlier, to understanding all of your litigation as a whole instead of assigning them out to teams who work completely independent of each other. And to that end, collaboration efforts and activities would be needed so that your litigation team are considering all of the litigation they're experiencing and seeing the patterns of similar efforts and data that's needed. There's technology improvements, legal hold or ECA tools that you might want to consider. But even simple steps like better central reporting and tracking of the types of data required, tracking of the custodians being scheduled for collections across all of your matters can enable this. The other thing that can help is just meeting with several e-discovery providers who specialize in this approach, and they can help you learn the options, strategies, technologies, and understand what the cost savings would be.
What about some of the drawbacks? What are some of the hiccups or the challenges that an organization might run into when this is their new approach to e-discovery?
Well, since collaboration and organization are key with this approach, then that can mean actually a little bit more work and time is needed up front during initial stages of discovery. That time savings is gained and more than compensated for as the discovery progresses. But team members need to be cognizant of that, realizing, you know, the great benefits that are going to come from investing more time up front and organizing well your discovery plans for overlapping matters. Now, this next point, it's not a huge issue, but there can be challenges when overlapping matters are being managed by different outside counsel. And if matters are very similar, it probably makes more sense to have these handled by the same law firm. But even if that's not done, you can still promote collaboration between counsel and help reduce repeated efforts there and kind of minimize some of those challenges. A third challenge comes when you're trying to reuse work product from a review team's coding decisions from one matter to the next for the same custodians. This can be complex on several levels, so it just needs to be well thought out. One of the problems can come with the timing in relation to the two matters that you're trying to reuse coding decisions from. It's really easier, much cleaner, to reuse tagging from a review that's entirely complete. If two different matters with overlapping custodians have concurrent discovery deadlines, that can be very challenging. And it may be that you just decide that you're not going to try to save any of the coding when your productions are too parallel in timing. There are some things that you could still attempt to do at that point to reuse some tagging decisions in similar matters. For instance, you might want to just conduct at an initial stage for all the custodians a privilege and confidentiality review, since that tends to be the type of decisions that are easily reusable anyway, and then divide it up and have your responsiveness reviews conducted separately in each of your review sets. Now, a fourth challenge can be balancing the needs of data reuse against your organization's retention schedules when holds are no longer in place. Obviously, the goal here with this whole approach is not to have a perpetual database of all of your custodians' data. When matters have resolved and the legal duty and need to retain data have gone away, there's benefit in returning to the purging that's provided for under your retention schedule. This is reasonable given the cost associated with maintaining collected data both in-house and at the e-discovery provider. When the litigation is over, these expenses are no longer warranted and the data can be disposed of. So just as savings can be gained from retaining and reusing data from one matter to the next, likewise, there are gains to be had when you dispose of data that you no longer have a legal duty to retain.
So obviously, technology is going to play a critical role in whatever you plan to do here with regards to managing your e-discovery cases as a portfolio. Could you talk a little bit about some of the key components of those technologies?
Sure, no problem. There are a variety of legal tools that are useful, but even just carefully maintained spreadsheets can help you see which custodians repeat throughout your matters. If you perform collections in-house, the ability to deduplicate can render great savings. For instance, if you need to update a previous custodian's collection so that you only pass on the new data for processing. If there are standard sets of documents that are produced in some of your matters that are retrieved from non-custodian sources, like I had mentioned earlier, then that's an instance where you might want to use the central repository tool or just a central database instead of retrieving that data each time. More on the e-discovery service provider side, the technologies vary there, and many providers have very sophisticated systems designed to easily manage all matters and share a work product between them. These may involve some form of the central or master or cross-matter database design that I had discussed earlier. I've also seen different manners of displaying and sharing coding decisions, such as regarding privilege or confidentiality. One tool I've seen has a historic coding panel. You can choose which tags you want to see displayed in that. So when you're looking at a current document, you can see historically how it was marked in other matters. So that's a tool that's been useful. Even though vendors that don't have this multi-matter management structure, they can facilitate reuse by policies and processes that yield reductions and that allow sharing of data between matters of work product, such as the specific coding from one matter to the next. So it doesn't just have to be a vendor that's their total specialty, that there can be other providers that have worked out ways to reduce your cost and expedite your workflow through reuse of data. Again, if you're considering this approach, I strongly recommend you invite several e-discovery providers who specialize in this area to meet with you. Demonstrations from these ones that have experience in this field can be very valuable education in understanding the capabilities. They may have white papers or potential workflows to share with you. That knowledge, in turn, can help you understand what may be required on your end, even to best avail yourself of the offerings, and then how to present that to management. So, you know, by all means, why not be the lead person who rolls out this new multi-manager, multi-matter process to your litigation team that's going to save hundreds of thousands of dollars annually?
Well, John, I think we'll stop right there. It's been a fantastic interview and some really great points. You obviously have expertise and experience in this area. It was enjoyable having you on the ESI Report today.
Thanks for having me on the report. I appreciate it.
Well, that wraps up another edition of the ESI Report. Thank you to everyone listening, and thanks to Kroll OnTrack for sponsoring the show. If you want to make sure you are in the eDiscovery know, check out some new eDiscovery resources available at ediscovery.com. There's something there for everyone. Until next time, I'm Michelle Lang, signing off for another edition of the ESI Report.
This was another edition of the ESI Report, sponsored by Kroll OnTrack. Be sure to follow Kroll OnTrack on Facebook and Twitter, or learn more about Kroll OnTrack software and services at www.krolontrack.com. Thanks for listening to the ESI Report, produced by the broadcast professionals at Legal Talk Network. Join Michelle Lang for her next podcast on the latest e-discovery trends. Subscribe to the RSS feed on LegalTalkNetwork.com or in iTunes. The views expressed by the participants of this program are their own and do not represent the views of, nor are they endorsed by, Legal Talk Network, its officers, directors, employees, agents, representatives, shareholders, and subsidiaries. None of the content should be considered legal advice. As always, consult a lawyer.